Hi everyone, I'm Kai. I'm from Northwestern University. Today I'm going to talk also flexible optical data center architecture. It's a joint work with between Northwestern University, UIUC, and NEC Labs America. First of all, I want to call your attention that I have been working on data network, optical data center networking in the past 2 years. Today's talk also, I'm going to talk about a container size data center. And in the upcoming CCOM in Helsinki, I will talk about another work, WebCube, which is a scalable optical data center networking. Okay, motivation. Nowadays, as many of you know, that people are living in a world of big data. Many applications and services, from scientific research, business, social networks, entertainment, web search, they all generate and process a large amount of data every day. For example, Google, in order to process its user search, need to process 20 petabyte data a day. And Walmart, the world's largest retailer, need to handle 1 million customer transactions and process 2.5 petabyte data per hour. Except this, many other big companies such as Microsoft, Yahoo, Amazon, YouTube, and so on and so forth, they all need to generate big data and process the big data. In order to support such data-intensive applications, data centers are being built around the world. This example of Google is a worldwide data center. And this is an example of traditional data center networking architecture I adopted from Cisco. You can see that it has three tiers at the bottom. Server within a group of server in a rack connect to a top of rack switch, and each top of rack switch connected to aggregation switches for redundancy, and all the aggregation switch connected to two core switches. And a fundamental problem of this structure is that it has serious communication over a bottleneck due to the oversubscribed core and aggregation layer. As you can see here, servers within a rack has an oversubscription ratio of 1, which means that any server can talk to any other server at their full link speed. And uplink from the TOR switch has an oversubscription ratio of 5 to 20, which means that 5 to 20 servers share one uplink. And passes going through the core layer has an oversubscription ratio of 240. Such high oversubscription ratio significantly affects the network performance. And how to design an efficient data center architecture is very desirable, is challenging, and has motivated a lot of research effort in the past few years. And here, by the efficiency, I mean first bandwidth, then wiring complexity, power consumption, and network cost. Next, I will introduce you the recent effort and data center architecture design. In the first wave, the pure electrical data center structures, such as FedTree, B-Cube, VL2, Holland, DCA, and so on and so forth, have been proposed in CCOM 2008 and 2009. Some of these structures, such as FedTree and B-Cube, by adding a lot of switches and links to the network, can potentially deliver high bandwidth between servers. For example, in FedTree is a rearrangeable non-blocking network, which means that any server in the network can talk to any other server at their full link speed. And however, such high network bandwidth comes with significant wiring complexity, power consumption, and network cost, especially when the network is upgraded to 10G. Later on, you can see that the wiring complexity is unbelievable. Later on, in order to avoid such flexibility, complexity, hybrid data center structures such as Helios and Cicero have been proposed in CCOM 2010. Here are examples. The idea of these two work is that they supplement the traditional oversubscribed network with high capacity optical links. The idea of introducing high-capacity optical links into data center networking is novel. However, their structure has a problem of limited flexibility. Here is an example of see-through structure. As you can see in this structure, here is the optical part. You can see that each 2R switch through its optical links can only connect to one other 2R switches, 2R switch at a time, and the link capacity of this link, once this structure is constructed, is fixed. We found that such a limited flexibility can only handle limited bandwidth for critical data center traffic. So this structure doesn't really solve the bandwidth issue. And therefore, we propose OSA, perhaps the first ever all optical data center structure that can potentially deliver high bandwidth with no cost, wiring complexity, and power consumption. And the design insight behind OSA is that there are a lot of evidence show that data center traffic exhibits originality and some stability. By this, in a data center, potentially any server can talk to any other server in a long run. But in a certain time period, communication only happens in regional area, which means that a server only talk to a group of other servers at a time. And because of this, instead of statically provisioned high bandwidth between any two servers in the whole data center, such as a factory, our idea is to flexible arrange to maintain a dynamic resource pool, flexible arrange the bandwidth to where it is needed instead of static over-provisioning. And the distinguished feature of OSA is high flexibility. Next, I will use an example to show what kind of flexibility OSA can deliver. Suppose in this graph, each node is a 2R switch, and each link has a link capacity of 10. And this is the traffic demand between these 2R switches. And as you can see, with this traffic demand, any 2R switch will talk to a remote 2R switch. For example, A talk to G, and B talk to H, C talk to E, and so on. And because of this, no matter what kind of routing you're using, several links in this network will be congested, okay? So the way OSA handle it is that we rearrange the interconnect between these 2R switches in a new topology. For example, in this new topology, we arrange these 2R switches in a way that all the communication pairs are direct connected. For example, here, A connect to G, D connect to F, C connect to E, and so on. And with such new topology, the traffic demand here can be perfectly satisfied. Okay, so suppose later on the traffic demand has changed again, with the demand between F and G become 20. Then in this case, link FG will be congested. Okay, so the way OSA handles this is that we increase the link capacity of F and G from 10 to 20. Then we can satisfy the new demand again. As you can see, OSA can dynamically change the 2R topology and link capacity to adapt to the real traffic demand instead of static over-provisioning. Without such flexibility, we may need to add a lot of links and switches to the network to handle such a traffic demand. However, with such flexibility, we can avoid such a complex construction while still deliver equivalent bandwidth. This looks like a magic, right? So in the coming of my presentation, I will just focus on how we realize such magic, such a flexibility magic, and the benefit bring by such flexibility. Here is the outline of the presentation. Next, I will talk about how OSA achieves such flexibility, and I will talk OSA architecture and optimization, and I will use implementation and evaluation to show the OSA performance, and finally, I will conclude the work. The the general approach we take in OSA is that we identify the benefit, the advantage of optical networking technology and apply them into data center networking. Some of the optical devices I'm going to introduce may not be new to those people from optical community. However, applying them into data center networking and innovatively combine them together to build a flexible data center architecture is a research highlight of OSA. The first optical device we use is MEMS, which is not new. It's also being used in Cicero and Helios. And MEMS has an incoming port and an outgoing port. And by dynamically rotating the micro the MEMS mirror here, any input port can be connected to any output port. For example, with MEMS connected to four nodes, four TOR switches, and in one MEMS configuration, these four nodes can be arranged in this topology: A connect to B, and B connect to C, C connect to D, D and connect to A. And in another MEMS configuration, we can arrange the topology between these four nodes in a different way. A connect to C, and C connect to B, B connect to D, D connect to A. Okay? So with MEMS, we actually achieve flexible topology. And here, one detail you may notice that here, although the topology can be dynamically changed, the node degree of in the topology is fixed. This is decide the interconnection between a node with MEMS. Here, each node has two connections to MEMS, so the node degree here is two. The second important optical devices we use also is WSS, which is a wavelength selective switch. WSS has one incoming port and K outgoing ports. It divide all the wavelengths coming through the incoming port will be dynamically divided into K groups and going through K outgoing ports here. So note that here, the number of wavelengths is corresponding to the link capacity. For example, we have A through WSS connect to B and D. And if we assign three wavelengths to AB and one wavelength to AD, then the link capacity of AB is three times of AD, and vice versa. As you can see, through WSS, we actually achieve flexible link capacity. There are two details you may want to know here. Firstly, is that all the wavelengths coming through a node must be unique. This is because due to wavelength contention problem, a single wavelength can be associated with one node at most one time. And the second thing is that the total number of wavelengths coming through a node is a fixed value here. This means that while here, suppose each node has several links associated incident to this node, then the link capacity of each of such link can be dynamic change, but the total link capacity, the sum of this link capacity is a fixed value. Okay, except MEMS and WSS, we also have other optical devices in OSA architecture. For example, optical fiber, WDN, max and DMAX coupler, circulator, and so on. I'm not going to tell the details about these optical devices. They are mostly used to connect MEMS and WSS together to form our OSA structure. Yeah, but there are some common features about all these optical devices. First, they are very high capacity. They can support high bit rate. And they are all very power efficient. Some of these optical devices even don't consume power at all. And these devices, except MEMS, are very small, very compact. That can be easily packed on the rack. With all these optical devices, let's come to see the OSA architecture in detail. Here is the structure. The whole structure is divided by TOR switches here into two parts. Below TOR switches are server racks. And above TOR switch is all optical interconnect. So each optical, I call this an optical component. Each optical component above two hour switch has a sending part and receiver part, which is used to send a receive packet. And each two hour switch through this its optical optical component has K connections to MEMS, which means each two hour can connect to K other two hour switches. And this structure looks complex, but it's essential you can view such a structure like this. Each two-hour switch through WSS has K connection to MEMS. And as I introduced, because of such K connection, each two-hour switch can direct connect to K other two-hour switches. And because of WSS here, each of such connection can have flexible link capacity, although the sum of this link capacity is a fixed value. So combining these two properties together, we actually achieve the flexible link capacity. We achieve the magical example I showed in previous slides, which means that OSA can arrange any K regular topology with flexible link capacity among all the two-hour switches. Okay. So there are two details I want to mention here. First, because each two-hour switch through MEMS can only directly connect to K other two-hour switches, those indirect connected two-hours must go through the combination between those indirect connected two-hours must go through a multi-hop. And the second, because currently the largest MEMS switch has 320 ports, so in this situation. OSA design is focused on container side data center, which can support several thousands of servers. And because we have flexible link capacity and flexible topology, the next important question is how we utilize such flexibility. For this purpose, we employ OSA manager here. The goal of OSA manager is to optimize the network to better serve the underlying traffic. Basically, OSA manager will attack. We'll talk to MEMS about how you should configure your network topology, and talk to WSS about how to configure each link capacity, and talk to our switches to configure the routing table. And the optimization procedure running inside OSA manager includes five steps. First of all, we use previous approach, which Heather presented in ASDI 2010. We use this approach to estimate the traffic demand between two-hour switches. And with the traffic demand, the next step we need to decide how we should interconnect these two-hour switches to better serve the traffic demand. So our idea is to identify the heavy communication pair, two-hour pairs, and assign direct links between them for better communication. Because each two-hour switch can only connect to K other two-hour switches, we use maximum weighted K matching algorithm to help us to solve this problem. Here is what we did. Suppose this is two-hour traffic demand. And based on this traffic demand metric, we build a two-hour demand graph, with each node is a two-hour switch. And the link weight here is the traffic demand between these two two-hour switches. And next, we derive a K regular graph on this two-hour demand graph in such a way that the link weight on this derived K regular graph is maximized. And we identify that this is exactly what maximum weighted K matching algorithm did. So we directly use this to serve our purpose. With that, we achieve a two-hour interconnection graph. And on this interconnection graph, we currently use the shortest path routing to compute the routing path between any pair of two-hour switches, because some of these two-hour switches are not direct connected. They are going through multi-hops. And with the routing path and the traffic demand between any two two-hour switches, we can easily calculate, compute the traffic demand on each link. Then, based on, as I introduced before, based on such a link demand, we assign equivalent number of wavelengths on this link. This is because, as I said before, the wavelengths, the number of wavelengths on each link actually corresponding to the link capacity. So because wavelength assignment is not arbitrary because due to the wavelength contention problem, so we identify H calibrate algorithm to help us to solve this problem. Here is what we did. Suppose this is a TOR interconnection graph, and with the link weight here, show that how many wavelengths I need to assign on this link to serve my link bandwidth. Then, based on this graph, we build a multi-graph with multiple edges between two nodes corresponding to the number of wavelengths I need to assign on this link. Then, we just assign each link with a bandwidth, with a wavelength here, in such a way that there's no adjacent wavelengths, the adjacent link have the same wavelengths. And if we assume each wavelength has a unique color, this is exactly an edge coloring problem. So we use which we can directly apply to solve this problem. As you can see, in OSA design, we actually don't develop a new theorem, new theories. Instead, we identify those traditional elegant algorithms to help us to develop efficient system. And this is among these five steps. Step two is compute the topology, which will be used by MEMS to configure the network topology. Step three will be used by TOR switch to configure its routing table, and step five is used by WSS to configure the link capacity. We have here is our implementation. We implement also with all real optical devices. We have a MEMS switch with 32 ports, and we have 8 WSS switches. With each WSS switch has one incoming port and four outgoing ports. And this allowed us to build a testbed with 8 TOR switches and 32 servers. We currently don't have a program in Linux TOR switch. We use a high performance Linux server to emulate TOR switch. And the goal of this testbed is to validate the feasibility of OSA design. For this purpose, we have two curves. The blue curve here is a theoretical curve, which means that if every some of the optical devices are first time introduced by us into data center working, we want to make sure that this optical device is working as we expected. And this blue curve shows that if every optical device is working as we expected, what will be the performance? And the red curve is the real result we collect on the testbed. Here you can see that the experimental result straight follows the expectation, which gave us confidence that OSA is a feasible design. And to evaluate the performance, we use large-scale simulations on several thousand of servers, and we compare OSA with FedTree and hybrid structure, Helios and Cicero, and we found that compare OSA with FedTree, we found that OSA can deliver very high bandwidth. Sometimes it can be close to non-blocking. And compare OSA with hybrid, we can find that OSA is significantly better than hybrid. It's is 3 to 4 times better. And this result basically demonstrates the high performance design of OSA. And finally, we also calculate the cost, power consumption, and wiring complexity of OSA and compare it with FedTree and hybrid structure. And compare OSA with hybrid, we find that OSA is slightly better than hybrid. But remember in previous slides that we can achieve a significantly better performance. And compare OSA with FedTree. Remember in previous slides, OSA sometimes can deliver very close performance to FedTree, but we achieve such high performance with a significantly better power consumption, wiring complexity, and network cost. And combine this result together, our evaluation gave us confidence that OSA can potentially deliver high bandwidth in a simple, power efficient, and cost effective way. And to conclude the work, Actually, in this we design also a high flexible data center structure. It basically attaches a sweet spot for performance, cost, power, and wiring complexity. And also, it's not intended to design. It's not designed to support all-to-all communication. Finally, I want to acknowledge Coadina to give us equipment support. Basically, Coadina provide us with WSS switches and Polytis provides a MEMS switch. And with that, thank you.
Hey, Srinivas from Princeton University. This is really interesting work. I had a question on how long the computations of these switching configurations take, and how it relates to the kinds of stability, the traffic stability that you actually observe in real networks. Could you talk a little bit about that? Thanks.
Okay. So basically, the current software, the five software, will take just 100, more than 100 milliseconds to compute the new. To estimate traffic demand, to compute new topology, to compute the new link capacity. And about the traffic stability. So basically, this work is spread by that we observe their traffic stability in production data center traffic. The stability can be second or even minute level. In our observation. So we think that because recomposition only takes 100 milliseconds, and those stability is on second level or minute level, so we still achieve benefit here.